Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Thank you so much. They used to call me the bad boy of talk radio back in the day when I first started doing radio. I might pick that up again. So it's the bad boy, yours truly, Ron Kelly, the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com, and in limited syndication in different selected markets all across the United States of America. Hey, Diana Glenn, my sister from way back when. How you doing, girl? Good to see you. Good to see you in my feed. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's February 25th already, I think, 2021. And I remember back in the day, like in the 80s and 90s, you know, I used to think that there would be, by now, 2021, there'd be flying cars and stuff like that. And like, none of that stuff has happened. It's still the same old, you know, same old. The only place where technology has advanced is where people spend money, like cell phones, cars, where cars drive themselves and all this type of stuff. A lot of other things, you know, we still haven't found a cure for cancer. They still haven't cured the common cold. There's a lot of things that haven't been done yet. But in any case, thank you, everybody. Welcome. Beautiful weather we've had the last couple of days. No snow. Grateful for that. So welcome, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com. First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for keeping me and all of you safe from the dreaded COVID virus and all the other threats that we encounter, you know, during our days outside of our domiciles. I think that's what they call it. Because, you know, life is so fragile. Life is so fragile. So if you made it back home today, give the Lord a high five, because there are plenty of people who left home unknowingly for the last time today. But great mercy, those of you who are listening to me right now have been chosen to make it back home and blessed to start another day tomorrow. So give the Lord a high five for getting you through the day, because there's so much danger and death and all types of stuff going on out there. So I know personally, I'm very grateful that that I haven't gotten ill or anything like that. So thank the Lord. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. You know what time it is. It's 6 minutes past the hour, it looks like. So welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, so lots going on, lots to talk about. I'll try to squeeze it all in as much as I can. Once again, shout out to Diana Glenn, my sister from way back when. Thank you so much, my sister, for checking in with me. It's the bad boy of News Talk Radio, yours truly, Ron Kelly, the Ron Kelly Show. So, you know, Trump left office. Trump left a void, you know. Trump left a void. Because Trump was a cornucopia. Trump was a just couldn't get out of his own way. And for a lot of the 24-hour news cable companies like MSNBC and Fox and CNN, Trump was a bad bonus. He was a bonanza because there was so much news with all the dumb things he did and, you know, tweeting and, you know, just the ridiculousness and some of the things he was doing with Kim Jong-un. Yeah, I'm hearing now he offered Kim Jong-un a plane ride back to back to North Korea when they were in, I believe they were in Vietnam and Hanoi. And he offered him a ride back home. And of course, you know, he turned it down. So with all the, you know, the Trump was the gift that kept on giving. And now that he's gone, it's definitely left a void in the news companies like MSNBC, the cable, 24-hour cable news shows. Because Trump was definitely a gift to the news. And, you know, a lot of some of these cable news networks made a lot of money when Trump was in office because there were the advertisers was, you know, putting their, you know, they were advertising on a lot of these 24-hour cable news companies. So they made a lot of money. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, they made a lot of money. So when Trump left, you know, now it's kind of dull, old, boring Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It's really, you know, because you know Joe Biden's not going to do anything wrong. It's kind of like the Obama presidency. Nothing, you know, it was nothing to report. Nothing to see here. Nothing to talk about. Obama, and he loved his wife, and they showed each other love, and they had two perfect kids. And, you know, the Obama girls never did anything wrong. So, yeah, so now that, so it was kind of boring. You know, there was nothing to report in regards to Obama. As a matter of fact, most of the news with Obama came while he was running. You know, but once he got elected, that was it. The, you know, the well was dry. And so with Joe Biden, it's going to be another, you know, there's not going to be much to report besides the usual. You know, you know, Joe Biden's like a 78 years old. Joe Biden's not going to do anything even close to the things that Donald Trump did. You know, Joe Biden doesn't have a wife who posed in the nude and, you know, and the Trump bankruptcies and everything. As a matter of fact, they just did imploded the Trump, one of the last Trump casinos in Atlantic City. One had been closed for like, you know, since the 90s, and they finally blew it up and took it down the other day. So, yeah, so now that Trump is gone, he's definitely left a void, and there's not a whole lot for the 24-hour cable news networks to talk about anymore with dumb old, you know, boring old Joe Biden, and, you know, you're not going to hear anything from him or Kamala Harris. So the fireworks are gone, you know, nothing to see here, everybody. Go on home. Okay, everybody, it's about 10 minutes past the hour. So the rich got richer and the poor got poorer during the pandemic. You know, and when the, you know, anytime there's a, you know, 2008, people got rich. During the Great Depression, Depression, people got rich. When stock, Black Wall Street, you know, not Black, well, Black, not Black Wall Street, but, in 1987, when the stock market fell, people got rich. You know, lots of folks got riched. So this 47 Money Magazine, I believe it was, put out a list, 47 billionaires who made money during the pandemic. And, you know, Jeff Bezos, we all know Jeff. All of us know Jeff. You know, you're not alive if you haven't ordered anything from Amazon. And Jeff, who's the richest man in the world, made $72 billion during the pandemic last year and this portion of this year. $72.6 billion that Jeff Bezos made. Some of that money was mine because I definitely go on Amazon and I order stuff, you know. So, yeah, so Jeff Bezos was number one. He made $72 billion last year while folks were getting kicked out of their apartments and scrambling for food and stuff like that. But the good news, but hold on to your hats. Now, he did donate $127 million to coronavirus causes. So he's worth 185 billion, he donated 127 million, which is about 0.09% of his total net worth. So I gave some money back, but yeah, Jeff Bezos made $72 billion last year. Elon Musk, who the Tesla electric car guy, made $63 billion last year. So anytime there's an economic downturn, the 10 million people lost their jobs last year. I believe today it was 800,000 or so, 800,000 or so people who filed for first time unemployment. So Jeff Bezos, while people were getting put out of their play, put out living in their cars and standing in the food line for hours and hours, Jeff Bezos made $72 billion. Like I said, that money was mine because I definitely go on Amazon and buy stuff. Shout out to Rosalind Christy. Hey, Rosalind, how you doing, boo? Yeah, so yes. So these people are getting rich. There's a long list of them, people who made money. Phil Knight, who owns Nike. Nike made $20 billion. So people were buying sneakers. You know, and there's a whole long list here of folks, 47 people, 47 billionaires who made money last year. They're going from the biggest to the smallest. Like the smallest guy, the last person, number 47, he only made $700 million. You know, yeah. So people who made money last year. But not us. No. And it's, you know, and you can't blame people for trying to make money. You can't blame people. It's because we like to get mad at billionaires. Jealousy, number one. enough, we don't have that life. And we think they should give more of their money. No. We think that billionaires should give more of their money than they do. Sheldon Adelson, he's dead, but he made $4.3 billion last year, even though he passed away, I believe. Sheldon Adelson, Trump's old friend, made $4.3 billion. And Sheldon Adelson was a Las Vegas casino owner, and he still made money. Wasn't Las Vegas closed last year? So people are getting rich, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Folks are still scrambling to find food and losing their places to live. And because some people, even though there's moratoriums on evictions, people are still getting put out. The landlords are finding loopholes and people are still getting put out of their apartments. So everybody's waiting with bated breath, holding on for the Biden American Rescue Plan. But the sticking point for the whole thing is the $15 an hour wage increase. Now, the $15 an hour wage increase really doesn't have anything to do with what's going on right now. I mean, it doesn't. I'm just keeping it 100 here like I always do. It has nothing to do with what's going on right now. Nothing. But people are, people are still trying to push $15 minimum wage. You know, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, her full name, is pushing one of the progressive Bernie Sanders, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. They are trying to push this $15 an hour wage increase. And the $15 an hour wage increase is not like a magic wand where you're just going to wave it over to people and everybody's going to move out of poverty. No, because even $15 an hour, is not enough. So people are scrambling to get this pushed. But the Republicans are against the $15 an hour wage increase, and Joe Biden admitted he may have to take it out. Yeah, so a lot going on. There's plenty to talk about. I'll get to as much as I can in the course of this program. It's 15 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and in limited syndication across the United States of America. So after the break, I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about what the Republicans are doing to make voting harder in minority communities. And in some cases, they even want to be able to, despite what the voters voted for, just like what they tried to do with Trump, they tried to take the, even though Biden won the state, they tried to take the electoral votes, because traditionally electoral votes are awarded to the person who wins the state. That's how it's been for 200 years. And so this year, or last year, I should say, they tried to take the take control of the electoral votes and give the votes to Trump, even though Trump lost the state. Like I said, they'd give California's electoral votes to Trump or give it to the Republican instead of the Democrat who won them fair and square. So they're trying to do this. So people better pay attention. You know, I know you like to put your pictures of your food and stuff and you're working out and where you're at and all this. But while you're doing that, the next time you go vote, you might not be able to. You can have all the ID in the world. So I'll get to that. And the equal opportunity police brutality, you know, I'll get to that as well and a whole lot more. So I'll take a quick break and I'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Alrighty then, we are back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to the folks who are listening to the Ron Kelly Show on the internet. The numbers are up, so I want to thank the people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show. Not to kick my Facebook Live audience in the back, but the radio audience is 50 times larger than the Facebook Live audience. So, and I noticed that the numbers, and I just looked and I noticed that the numbers are up for the people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show on the radio. So I want to thank you people for indulging me and my nonsense on some days. So thank you to the radio audience for the increase in the numbers. I appreciate that. That means that, you know, the advertising, well, I don't want to get into it right now, but thank you to the people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show on the radio. And for the ones who listen on Facebook Live, I appreciate you as well. Okay, so no charges. I mean, it's just like a broken record. No charges, no charges, no charges, no charges. In Buffalo, the two police officers that pushed a 75-year-old man down to the hard concrete when he cracked his skull. The man, matter of fact, actually had a fractured skull. Old man, 75 years old, pushed down to the concrete and walked past, left bleeding on the sidewalk from a head wound after he cracked his dome on the ground. And the police did not get charged. You know, no charges for that. No charges for Daniel Prude in Rochester. Daniel Prude, the 47-year-old man who was naked, actually, who the police suffocated. They say it was an accident, but in that case, there's no charges there either. But in some cities, I believe in New York, that they have a pilot program where they're gonna stop sending the police for issues with people with problems, unless they're hanging off the bridge, like the young man who Newark police snatched off the overpass Route 78 in New Jersey. I believe it was yesterday. So when somebody has to be rescued, if they're at the precipice of death, then the police should be brought in so they can try to save the person from jumping into oblivion. But there is a pilot program in New York City where they're not sending the police for mental health situations. They're sending mental health professionals, and they're sending the police as backup and only as the last resort. And that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Because how many people with mental issues have been killed by police because they wouldn't put the knife down or they wouldn't put the stick down? You remember Eleanor Bumpers back in the day? Eleanor Bumpers, way back in the 80s, I believe it was, the mentally ill grandmother, was in her 70s, you know, blown away by the New York City police officer with a shotgun, as a matter of fact, double barrel shotgun. And Eleanor Bumpers, she was one of the first, well, not the first, but the first case where, you know, a celebrated case, for lack of a better word, when she was killed because she went after the police with a broom, with a broomstick. Shout out to DP, my brother. How are you, man? Yeah, so Eleanor Bumpers back in the day. DP should know about that. Eleanor Bumpers, the 70-something-year-old grandmother, blown away by the New York City Police Department for she had a broom. She was blown away because she had a broom. So the police officers felt threatened because this old lady, who probably couldn't even swing the broom, had a broom, and she was killed by the New York City Police Department. DP, you're from New York. You should know about that. Anyway, it's 24 minutes past the hour. Yeah, so no charges to Daniel Prude in Rochester. No charges against the old white dude, 75 years old, shoved down by the Buffalo police, and had a fractured skull, laying on a hard concrete bleeding, and the police just walked past him. And then he had the nerve to all resign, emergency service unit resigned in protest because the police officers were charged. You know, so there's a bill in Congress right now they're trying to pass. Because, you know, but bills, you know, the death penalty hasn't stopped murder, you know. Life sentence hasn't stopped. I mean, the laws are for punishment after somebody does something. It's very, very difficult to try to stop something from happening. Shout out to my niece. Hey, boo. How you doing? She called her Denise. That's my niece, though, y'all. Stay away from her. Shout out to Dave Oldman, who just joined the program. Dave Oldman, my brother from Paterson, New Jersey. Thank you, Dave, for joining the program. Yeah, so it's equal opportunity brutality now, because the old man, 75-year-old, I said it about four times, the old man, 75 years old, pushed down by the Buffalo police and cracking his head on the hard concrete, there will be no charges against police officers. And Daniel Prude in Rochester, no charges. And an Iowa man, a white man this time, killed by the police, mistaken identity. So it's equal opportunity. It's you know, even white people are getting killed now, you know. So it's equal opportunities, not just us. They're beating up old people. 75-year-old man, a white dude got killed, minding his business in his backyard because he was wrong place, wrong time. Killed by police. I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's been a year since Ahmaud Arbery. You know, we know Ahmaud Arbery, who was jogging through a white neighborhood, and these white men seized upon the opportunity, and they wound up killing him. So it's just one thing after another. But now it's white folks too, old people, you know, old white people, they're trying to get everybody now. So the tax wars are over. Trump is, and I'm looking forward to, I mean, it won't, I don't think the general public will be able to see these tax, Trump's tax returns, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be very interesting. And if there is a criminal complaint charged against Mr. Trump, then we will be able to get some of the details of his tax returns. Mr. Trump only paid a total of $1,500 over the last 2 years in taxes. Shout out to Ronald McCready, my brother from another mother. My brother actually from grammar school. Thank you for joining me. Yeah. So we're going to get a chance since the SCOTUS has dipped on Trump, you know, and that was Trump's plan. Trump's plan was to put his nominees into the Supreme Court. So that's what he did. He put his nominees, Amy Coney Barrett being the last one, Brett Kavanaugh, and another person, I can't think of the person's name, were appointed to the Supreme Court by Donald Trump. 3 people in 4 years. And they all dumped on him when he needed them the most. He dumped on them. They dumped on him. When he tried to get the Supreme Court to overturn the election, nope, sorry. And he tried to get the Supreme Court to keep his taxes hidden. Nope, sorry. Because why do they got nothing to lose? Because you're going to be out of office. And Supreme Court nominees, if they're confirmed, have those jobs for the rest of their life. So there's nothing, even if Trump got reelected, there's nothing he can do. Once they're confirmed, there's nothing he can do. So why would I feel, so I can't understand why he would feel that, that he would think that they would feel obligated to him when they get the job, that they take the job. The job lasts for the rest of their life. So, you know, when Amy Coney, when the notorious RBG died, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Trump hastily pushed through Amy Coney Barrett because he felt like, you know, she would come across when it was time. And she didn't. Brett Kavanaugh didn't. And the other person that he, three of them, they all turned their backs on. So we're going to get a chance to see what Trump's tax returns look like. Maybe not, you know, I mean, they've already been given to the Manhattan DA. He already has them. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. But Trump, just pitiful, you know. Scratch my back, I scratch yours. No, they didn't scratch Trump's back. They kicked him to the curb. So yeah, unbelievable. Anyway, it's half past the show already. And, you know, thank you, everybody, for the, Diana Glenn says they're doing the right thing. Yes, they are. See, everybody is not corrupt as Trump, even though, you know, he you know, everybody's not as corrupt. These people, some people did the right thing. But the folks who voted against Trump in the even though he was out of office already, the impeachment, you know, some of those people did the right thing. They put their careers on the line. You know, and your career shouldn't be on the line because you're doing the right thing. See, that's what, you know, it's like a bizarro world we're living in right now where right is wrong and wrong is right. You know, that's where we are right now in this world, especially with the politics, you know. And there were probably enough senators to convict Trump on the impeachment, but they were afraid. They put their career ahead of their conscience. So Texas, and we know about Ted Cruz, senator from Texas, who bailed on the people who are down there freezing their butts off, bailed and goes to Mexico and blamed it on his kids. Well, my kids wanted to go. So, and this is the part, these are the people who before Trump, BT, before Trump, these are the people who were for lower taxes and smaller government and opportunity for all. That was the Republican label before Trump came along. Yeah. So these are people who believe in the Constitution, you know, back to blue, and then they go to Washington, D.C., and there were people who, there were police officers who were actually beating on Capitol Police. You know? And these are the people who claim to be for law and government. These are the people who, you know, when you say, you know, these are the people who are supposed to be the law and order folks. Like Trump said, law and order. And then they went to the Capitol building and destroyed it. The law and order folks beating on police officers with flagpoles and all this type of stuff. So now, since the election, so now what's going on right now is a lot of these in the Republican states, the states that flipped to Biden, now these the state legislatures, the state senates are scrambling to change the law. So, which means that it's going to be harder for folks to vote. And in some cases, they're even going to try to change the law so they can give the electoral votes to whoever they want to give them to, no matter what happened with the election. So, for example, in Arizona, if these laws go through in a state like Arizona where Biden flipped it, the state legislatures and the state senators want to give themselves the power to give the votes to whoever they want to give it to. So even if, so say, even though Biden won, theoretically speaking, that Biden won the state, they want to have the power to give the votes to whoever they want to give it to, which is unbelievable. You see, these are the same people, you know, honor the Constitution, you know, Second Amendment, all of this stuff, you know, back to blue, and they just completely go against everything that they talk about. They're so hypocritical. So hypocritical. These are the same people. You got to, yeah, I remember John McClain. John McClain was a classy Republican. So I remember, as a matter of fact, I was going to pull it up. John McClain, when he was running for president against Trump, him and that lady, crazy lady, a woman stepped up in the, they were having a town hall meeting. John McClain was having a town hall meeting. He was running for president. And a woman got up and said, oh, I don't like Obama because he's a Muslim. He's from Kenya. He doesn't belong here. You know, John McClain said, no. He took the microphone from the lady. He said, no. He wasn't having that. He said, no, she was, he's a good man. He's a good family man. You know, and it might have cost him the election. But he stood on his principles. You know, so John McClain was a throwback Republican. He stood on his principles. And, you know, shame that he died because the party is all jacked up right now. You know, it's ridiculous. It's 36 minutes past the hour, everybody. This is the Ron Kelly Show. So, yeah, so people, you know, the richer got richer. And the poor got poorer, more employment, more first time. I believe it was they expected 800,000 first time unemployment applications today. I'm not sure what the total was. They usually announce it around 9:30 or so, but I wasn't listening to the radio at that time, so I'm not sure what it was. But it's probably somewhere in that general area, you know. So people are like struggling. People are hurting. So if you had your job the whole time, like I've had my job the whole time, I haven't lost anything, you know, thank God, you know, because it's really, I talked a little bit about the legislature, some of the legislation that they're trying to pass in the Senate and Congress, United States, in Washington. With the transgender situation, you know, transgender people are being attacked by the Republicans. You know, Diana Glenn said John McCain was a redneck until he became ill. That's when you had a heart for black people. No, I don't agree with that. I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, but at least even he was Diana. At least he reformed himself. You know, at least he said, well, you know what, this isn't right. You know, so even if he was, you know, but I think John McCain was a good guy. You know, that's my opinion. I think he was a good guy. I mean, you guys are free to think what you want to think. I think John McCain was a good guy. I think that at the end of the day, you know, I mean, if you looked up, maybe look it up on YouTube, he stood up. He took the microphone from the lady and said, no, we're not having that here. Barack Obama is a good man. He's a family man. And he kicked that lady to the curb. And it was on national TV. Everybody saw it. So, you know, that's what it was. So I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that he was a good guy. I think he was. Yeah, he, you know, I think he was a decent guy. Dave Ullman, I think, thinks he was a decent guy, too. Dave Ullman says that was McCain's shining moment. Yes, it was. Major respect. I'm like, whoa, you know, because Trump would have went with that. Because you see what happened with the Trump rallies. You know, there's my African-American. There's my African-American, like, you know, my African-American. Like, that's my property, my African American. Dave Ullman says that he might have won if he didn't have people crazy. But yeah, see, you know, that was a Hail Mary when he picked Sarah Palin. That was a Hail Mary because he wanted to pick a woman to energize the base. So he picked Sarah Palin. Because Kamala Harris was the third female vice presidential candidate in the history. Kamala Harris was the third female vice presidential candidate. The first one was Geraldine Ferraro back in the day. Geraldine Ferraro, back in the 80s, I believe it was. She was the first woman to run as vice president. The first woman. They lost. She ran with Walter Mondale, I think. They lost. Then it was Sarah Palin. Then it was Kamala Harris. So Kamala Harris was the first one to win, but she wasn't the first one to run. Yeah, Dave Bowman says energized crazy base and woke up mid-run. Yeah, see, because Ted Cruz tried the same nonsense. Yeah. Diana Glenn says he should have picked a woman with knowledge. Yeah, like Joe Biden did with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris never lost an election. And she's very smart. So that was the thing. That was the thing. Yeah, we all know Shirley Chisholm was the first woman to try to run for president, first black woman back in the day. Shirley Chisholm had the big wig, you know. Kamala Harris was the third one. But there were two others who ran and lost before Kamala Harris. All right, 19 minutes before y'all, I got to take a quick break. One more. Quick break, and we'll come right back and we'll wrap this puppy up. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on Block Talk Radio. It's in limited syndication and all across the United States of America. And it's on the web on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of The Ron Kelly Show after this.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of The Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Senator Cruz was asked to weigh in on Colin Kaepernick and the current NFL controversy on taking a knee during the national anthem.
I believe in free speech for people I agree with and people I disagree with. Colin Kaepernick has every right to say what he wants to. He has every right, if he wants to disrespect the flag, he can. And the rest of us have a right to express our views. Listen, I, for one, am not a fan of rich, spoiled athletes disrespecting the flag.
But the reality is...
Cruz went on to say those booing were, quote, from the Republic of Travis County. And he then echoed his feelings that everyone has a right to free speech, whether he agrees or not.
Right. That was Ted Cruz when he was running for office. You know, welcome back, everybody. It's 16 minutes before the hour of 8 p.m. Eastern time. And you're listening to The Ron Kelly Show. I noticed that it's getting lighter earlier. So that's a good sign. That's a good sign. The weather is much better. And I'm telling you, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to pack up my mask. And I'm going to be doing some traveling this year. So, you know, so in reference to the female vice presidential running mates, Ted Cruz tried to do that same thing. He tried to energize the base. It was a Hail Mary, you know, 2 seconds left in the game. And he just throw the ball into the end zone, hope somebody catches it. That's what Ted Cruz did when he picked Carly Fiorina. Carly Fiorina was a presidential candidate 2016. And then she dropped out eventually. And Ted Cruz, before he even won a nomination, he picked her. You know, you're supposed to wait until you win the nomination before you pick a running mate. But Ted Cruz wanted to throw the Hail Mary, and he picked Carly Fiorina to be his running mate. Just unbelievable. So, yeah, somebody called. I kind of have to start because every time you look, and I kind of laughed because I thought it was funny because every time you see Biden, you see Kamala Harris in the background somewhere, you know, and somebody said, look, it's Kamala Harris. She's talking. And I thought it was kind of funny, you know, and to me, it was funny. You know, I mean, I didn't take it, like pick that personally, but, I thought that was funny. Anyway, everybody, it's 14 minutes before the hour, and Donna Glenn says teamwork. Yes, absolutely, because somebody said that Trump's running mate, Mike Pence, was the worst mistake he ever made in his life. I should say, you know, he's probably sitting somewhere like, man, I should have never shout out to. Yeah, Dave Omen says she's not up his ass. And see, Pence is probably saying, man, I should have left. I should have stayed the governor of Indiana. You know, I should have never ran with this psychopath. Because most people go on to do, you know, who leave the office with a level of respect. You know, most running mates. You know, and the president. Like Trump, like Obama, very, very, very popular. Still has high ratings high levels of popularity. But Mike Pence is probably sitting somewhere like, I should have left that asshole. I should have never ran with this jerk, because now my reputation is destroyed. Yeah. Because, you know, the January 6th, when those people ran up in the Capitol, that was the synopsis of President Trump's time in office. That was, you know, that exemplified Trump's time in office. When those people ran up, because that's what it was. It was a wild and crazy time with these last 4 years. And with Trump, with Mike Pence is probably sitting somewhere right now saying, man, I mean, what did I get myself into? Because Trump gets on a plane the day of the inauguration. He's not the first president. He's not the first losing president to leave and not, he's not the first one. Others have done it as well. But one or two others. But Trump gets on a plane. I mean, Mike Pence is in the, well, let me start here. Mike Pence is in the Capitol building. His job is to certify the Electoral College votes. And we all know that the whoever wins the state, the Electoral College votes automatically goes to that person. So Mike Pence is in the Capitol building. You know, his job is only to officiate over the ceremony. He has no power to do anything. We just certify the Electoral College votes. And Trump sicks his dogs on him. While, you know, Mike Pence is in the building, Trump knows Mike Pence is in the building, and he sends his rabid dogs into the Capitol building. And there was a chance that Mike Pence could have gotten hurt. I mean, Mike Pence, they got Mike Pence out of there like just a minute or two before the mob stormed the Capitol building. So Mike Pence, you know, could have gotten hurt. Even Trump's, his Republican colleagues, the Republican senators, the Republican congressmen, could have gotten hurt. But Trump didn't care. You know, he sent the dogs in there. He had the vice president of the United States, unprotected, but basically, for the lack of a better word. And Trump didn't care. He's like, whatever. So I know Mike Pence somewhere is like, man, why did I, worst experience of his life, to have to sit up there and big up this president. Oh, the president has done such a wonderful job with COVID. Really? But speaking of COVID, there has been 50 million doses distributed just in the time that Biden has been president. He was inaugurated January 20th. Yeah. Ronald McCready says, no, he didn't. It still doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. Trump didn't care about COVID. But there's been 50 million people who've been vaccinated at least once since Joe Biden took office. 50 million. Now, you think that maybe over the last year, we could have, you know, if Trump would have did something, maybe we'd be up to 100 million, 150 million. But Trump didn't do anything. So we got 50 million people so far who have been vaccinated, who have gotten the COVID vaccine at least once. You know, I mean, there's still a lot of people who don't trust it. Ronald McCready says Trump did nothing but cause chaos. Yes, absolutely. Trump did nothing but cause chaos. You know. So the CPAC is this big Republican conservative gathering, get together. We'll be meeting, and I believe Trump is going to be one of the speakers. So there's a chance that, I mean, there's an outside chance. 4 years from now, I don't think Trump will have half of the base he has now. Because he doesn't have the bully pulpit of the presidency. He doesn't have Twitter. So he lost his megaphone. So he's not going to have the he's not going to have the people. He's not going to have the influence. So I guess we'll see what happens. But it's been quite a year. It's been quite a 4 years of Trump. So we'll see what happens with Biden. So we're waiting for the COVID bill, the $1,400 a piece for people who make under $60,000. Something. I don't know offhand. Don't quote me. But waiting for the COVID bill to pass, $1.9 trillion. And the United States government is in such debt. I mean, if the United States government was a person, I mean, they would have to file for bankruptcy. No. Ron McGree says in real life, Trump should be in jail. Well, you know, I don't know if he's going to go to jail, even if there's some criminality in his taxes. And because what they're trying to say is that Trump, he lowered the Donna Glenn says, give it time. Yeah, they're saying what they're trying to say is that Trump lowered the value of his properties to save insurance and to save taxes. And then when he did he raised value when he wanted to get a loan. So let's say if he had a property that was worth $3 million, he said it was worth $5 million when it was time for him to get a loan. But when it was time to pay taxes on the property, he would lower the value of the property. That's what they're saying that Trump did. So we'll just have to see. And everybody wants him to go to jail and all. And, you know, no president has ever gone to jail before or after he was in office. So the likelihood that Trump would go to jail is probably pretty low. You know, he'll probably get a bunch of fines and he'll be embarrassed because the covers will be pulled off of him and we'll know what his situation was and we'll know that he was a tax cheat and an insurance fraudster. All that'll come out. But you know what? Those people will still vote for Trump. They will still vote for Trump. When Trump said he could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and nobody would blame him, he was right. He was right. Diana Glenn says, imagine him bending over and picking up soap. I don't think they'd even bother with Trump. I think they'd be like, oh, you go ahead. I don't even think they would bother with Trump if he bent over to get the soap. They wouldn't even, you know. But I doubt seriously if he goes to jail. I doubt that. Dave Bowman says the outcome has to be that his base realizes he was a fraud. Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's the hope. That and even if they realize he was a fraud, see, the Trump represented something. See, because Trump didn't start racism, misogynist. Trump didn't create any of these things. He didn't create this stuff. So these things, with the demise of the Trump aura, I don't think all of these things are going to disappear. Because Trump represented some of the heinousness of the United States of America. You know, because while the forefathers were talking about freedom, they owned slaves. When the forefathers were writing the Constitution, freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom to bear arms, freedom to speak out, they owned slaves. So they were talking out both sides of their mouth. Because while they wrote this soaring, you know, which the Constitution is, it's a soaring, you know, I mean, there's nothing like it in the world. You know, free to be you, free to worship how you want to worship, free to walk the streets, free to gather, free to protest. But black folks, you know, but on what they went home after they got finished working on the Constitution, they went home. It was served by slaves, people who were servants, people who they captured and kept, didn't pay, worked for free. So that's the hypocrisy of the Constitution of the United States of America, where it talked about, and you can read it. You know, anybody who hasn't read it, I suggest that you do. Read the Constitution, because it talks about freedom, freedom, freedom. But the black folks who they kept weren't free. People who lived in the barns, and folks who, you know, the women who cooked the food, and the wives they took from the husbands. They slept with them, bedded them. Can you imagine somebody take your wife in the house? There's nothing you can do about it. Somebody takes your wife, sleeps with your wife, and then sends her back to you the next day. Unbelievable what black folks went through. You know, Dave Bowman says Trump turned dog was into a bullhorn, right? Because Trump didn't create this stuff. You know, and you know what? There'll be another Trump. They'll find somebody else. They'll find somebody else. There'll be somebody else out there who will replace Trump, probably somebody younger. Senator Josh Hawley is one of them. Because just because Trump's gone doesn't mean that the racism and the misogynistic and all that stuff is going to go with him. Oh, no. Oh, no. That stuff has been here for hundreds of years, and it's not going anywhere. So don't get it twisted. That stuff is not going anywhere. So Trump just, there was a George Wallace. You know, there was a David Duke. You know, these people, you know, even going all the way back to the beginning, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all owned slaves. All of them. They were slave masters. While they were writing this soaring piece of Constitution, they talked about freedom all through it. Freedom, 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 freedom. They kept slaves. So it was totally, it was hypocrisy. Ronald McCready says we'll be fighting city anytime. Yeah. There's always going to be racism. Except, like, I know, like, in the Star Trek days, like 2,000 years from now, there may not be none if there is still a world. But right now, for now, it's going to be here. Okay, everybody, it's about 40 seconds left of the program. I want to thank each and every one of you. Once again, thank the radio audience, which has grown exponentially. So I want to thank the folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show on radio, and, of course, all of you on Facebook Live. All right, so I'm out. So, everybody, don't forget, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together. But together, we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. See you back here next weekend. I think I'm done.